Actually, that was the first time I preached at Chisholm Baptist, I realized, this weekend, Memorial Day. And so we are still thrilled to be here and have enjoyed this year so much in each one of you, getting to know you. And we praise God, and we're so thankful for what He has done this year and will continue to do as we look forward to Him and draw upon on Him and what He will do. And this week I wanted to just focus on perseverance and be encouraged in perseverance. And so I wanted to, I was thinking about that, and I had planned this message several weeks ago before even Pastor Dan was talking about, you know, sticking in the tough times. And so I felt, well, maybe the Lord wants to continue to help us to be encouraged and to persevere. So Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 came to my mind. And this happens to be my daughter's favorite verse. She told me this, a set of verses, and I didn't know that either before I chose this. But I thank the Lord for what He has here, and I pray that He will speak to us today. So if you want to go to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and that is page 1193 in your blue Bible here, if you don't have a Bible, and you can turn to that. And the outline of my message here is right on the back of your worship folder if you want to follow along, and just a couple of points there. But I would like to first just take a look at the scripture, and then we'll pray and read through that, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again, for your word, which is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and pierces our heart down to the very joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And I pray today that you may do that again, that you may speak to us through your word, not through my words, but your word, Lord God. And may we be encouraged today through it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was cued onto this story by our own Bill Forsling, which really encouraged me when I read it about a month ago. And I thought, how perfect to bring this up. So Reverend Delbert Cool has a decorated army chaplain and a paratrooper who willingly followed his troops into battle during World War II. And he received a Silver Star for valor and a Purple Heart for shrapnel wounds incurred while crossing the Rhine River with his unit in Holland. And the episode is part of the Greatest Generation Archives of Minnesota. He was born in Alexandria, Minnesota, on a farm there. And so it's there in the Historical Society, and was featured in a book and a movie, A Bridge Too Far. He was transformed by his relationship with God, and his natural desire was to be able to share that with as many people as he could. After graduating in 1942 from Northwestern Theological Seminary in Minneapolis, Cool volunteered to become a chaplain for what became the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Division, and also qualified as a paratrooper. "If the men wouldn't come to him," he said, "I decided to go to them. I would go where they went." That eventually led him to the Rhine River on September 20, 1944. The paratrooper's goal was to seize the Nijmegen Bridge in Holland, before it was destroyed by the Germans, who were dug in and waiting. They were literally in the middle of a war zone as these paratroopers came down in. "Lord, thy will be done," Kuhl prayed aloud as often, and as they paddled against the strong current and withering German fire coming at them. And less than half the 26 plywood and canvas boats made it across. He said, "I had the first aid pack, so I was trying to do what I could for the wounded." His Silver Star citation credits him with helping to save 35 wounded men while seriously wounded himself. He has a real persevering personality, no matter how difficult the circumstances are, said his son Nathan of Chicago. There's much more to that story. It's an amazing story. If you want to get the full story, you can get it from me. But here was a man with great courage going in. And why? Because he wanted to be there where the people were and to help, to persevere with them, alongside them. And this is our life as well. God placed us on this race. So my first point there is that we can be encouraged because we have many faithful witnesses who have gone before us. And the scripture says there, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses." And I've always been taught that when you hear the word "therefore," you have to ask the question, what's the "therefore" there for? And so as we look back into chapter 11, it's talking about this is the faith chapter. The chapter that talks about many men and women that have gone before us who are examples in the scripture of who were faithful to the Lord through many, many things. And it describes faith this way in chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." And again, the word "hope" is not, "I hope I can get to go to the store tomorrow. I hope I can clean my house today," or whatever. It's not that. It's a hope that is sure, because it's grounded in Jesus Christ. And so it's a strong hope, a hope that never fails. And it's conviction in your heart, a conviction of things that we don't see. And often we want to see the thing. We want to see God. We want to see Him work. And we don't often go 100% toward Him because we're such visual people. We want to see what's going on around us. But we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses that chapter 11 talks about. And Moses is one of them who went into the land, and God just called them to go there. And he didn't know exactly why or where or what God was going to do with him, but he obeyed. And it talks about in chapter 11 so many of these people who underwent so much persecution and beatings and floggings and being sawed in two. And it talks about so many of those things. And it says, "Men and women of whom the world was not worthy, wandering around in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised." See, they didn't see. They didn't have the view. They didn't have the joy of going into a promised land or being promised this what God had focused on their calling. Moses still had to stand on the other side of the Jordan River. He never got to go into the promised land, but was faithful to the end. So we can be encouraged by these faithful witnesses who have gone before us. And I'm sure there are many. There are many even here today who have been faithful in the Lord, who've gone through many trials, many tribulations, many who have died in this place that have gone before us. And we can look back at that and we can say, "Wow, I want to be like that. Remember so-and-so? I want to be like that. I have those in my own life, people that are older than me or that have gone before me, that encourage me to keep going and to persevere." And so we see this here. It's a great cloud of witnesses, it says. And this cloud is like a great throng, the word is. And to see this, these people, like in chapter 11, who have gone before us, and a cloud of witnesses, and it's like a great grandstand of people, and we're on this walk of life, a spiritual run, and they're saying, go, run, keep going, you can do it, we had to do it, you can too. And that's the great encouragement that we have. And I'm sure all of those who have gone before us are saying the same thing to us. Sense it, know it. And if you need to hook up with someone to be encouraged, find them. They're here. They want to encourage you in your faith. If you're feeling down or depressed or not being able to step forward in your life because of things around you, this world has gotten you beaten down. Because this life, this faith life, is not a sprint, but a marathon. And in the beginning of our marathon, a lot of times we sense that encouragement, and we're so excited, and we're heading out on this race, and we're getting there, but then we're getting blisters on our feet, and it's not feeling so good, and the things around us are beating us down, and we don't feel this, we don't feel so good anymore. And we need that encouragement in the faith to keep running, to keep going. So Hebrews 12, again, verse 1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the encumbrance, this encumbrance and sin that so easily entangles us. This encumbrance, this is like this weight that is on our back. And again, in this idea of a marathon that we're running, it's like putting a backpack, on your back. It's a baggage on your back. And you're running. And as you go along, you're picking up stuff like, oh, well, there's a bottle of pop. That sounds pretty good. I could probably use that down the road a little bit. And so you throw that in your backpack. I could use that. And then you keep running, and there's a Hostess Twinkie. And, oh, that sounds pretty good too. And you're throwing that in there. And you keep adding and adding and adding to this backpack along the way. And pretty soon it's getting heavier and heavier. And without us really even noticing. Because, you know, wasn't that little Twinkie? That was kind of light. That wasn't too bad. But then we keep throwing the things back there. And it's weighing us down. And there's the sin that so easily entangles us. And it's like this bag, too, that we've got the straps around. And we're running. And we keep running. And the word is like, it's tightly winding us up. And so we can barely go anymore. We're trying to run. But these things are just strapped around us so tightly. And that's the sin that traps us in. And it draws us in. This world is drawing us in. And the encouragement here is we need to stop and throw it all off. We need to throw the baggage off of our body so that we can keep running and keep going and lighten up our load. Because those who are in the marathon, you know, I mean, if you see the Olympics and those kinds of things, they run with very light gear. And their shorts, their shirt, everything is just very, as light as they possibly can go. And it's the same idea with our walk and run of life in faith. So we need to be light. We need to throw off everything that hinders us. And there's so many things that we can get caught up in today that hinder us. And Galatians 5:19 through 21 tells us so many things about the kinds of sin, the acts of the flesh, whether it be sexual immorality or impurity, says debauchery, idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and the list goes on. And we know that so many of these things, we're guilty of these. And yet, God wants more of us. He wants us to throw it off. Because as soon as we throw it off, we can see with great eyes. And it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this race, again, not being a sprint but a marathon, this race is set before us. It's marked out for us. And who marked out this race for us? It was Jesus. When we came to trust in Him, He set the race before us. He says, here it is. Follow it. Follow this way. But often we fix our eyes. We begin to look at other places. And we're going down this way into this area. And pretty soon we find out it's a dead end. We have to turn around and come back. And while we're coming back, we're getting more tired and more tired and more weighed down because we took the wrong direction. And so what does it say? It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. So the second point there is be encouraged because Jesus is the founder and the example of perfect faith. He's the one. He's the one that takes the lead. He's the pioneer of our faith. You know, as you, if you think about fixing your eyes on Jesus, there, I think of horses, you know, the workhorses, or sometimes you see them in the parades, and they have these blinders on. And they're blinders because they need to look forward and not be weighed and seeing what's going on out here and turn toward one way or the other. They need to be fixed, their eyes. They have to have their fixed eyes forward and straight ahead. And that's the way that we need to be. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus because he's the pioneer. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that can give us the strength to walk, to run this run. And so it says, fix our eyes on him. He's the pioneer. It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And I thought about this, you know, why joy? Why does it say joy there? Why would he say, this is joy? Joy to have, to go to the cross, to be whipped and beaten and have a crown of thorns on your head, to be nailed to this cross it's an enemy's cross, a criminal's cross. Why would that be joyful at all? Where would we find joy in that? And it's because Jesus himself is the one that knew what the outcome was. He was fixed on the outcome, the goal, and the prize. And what was that? What was that? He knew that if he endured this cross, despising all this shame, he would sit at the right hand of the throne of God in majesty and high, just as he was before. And also that he would make and create a way for you and I to have a relationship with him, because he bore our sin. And no one endured more than he did, because it also included spiritual suffering, taking our sin, and his Father himself saying, not being able to look down upon that sin. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was great depth of pain and suffering that he endured. This right hand of the throne of God, it's a position of authority. And he now gives us the authority to live and walk and move in his way. And again, when the disciples were among Jesus while he was physically here on earth, they would say, oh, please don't go. We want you here. And he says, no, I must go. It'll be a better thing. Because when I go, I will send the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to you. And he will empower you to walk this walk, to run this race, so that you don't need to walk it alone. And that's what Jesus does when we trust him with our lives. Trust him with our whole lives. We can walk in him. We can run this race. And he gives us the strength. He gives us the spiritual nourishment as we come to him. And that last phrase there says, for consider him who has endured such hostility, opposition by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I like those words. For consider him, because it's all about him, right? He's the central figure in all of it. And that's why it says, fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, there's so often we get our eyes off of him. And as soon as we do, as soon as we get our eyes off of Jesus, that's when things start going crazy. And we don't have the strength. And we wonder what is going on in our lives. But we need to begin to fix our eyes on Jesus again and submit to him in our own heart, and pray and seek him with all of our heart. And again, this is the beauty of the body of Christ. We're here together to encourage each other and to encourage one another on in this race. The focal point is Jesus. He's our hope. He's our answer. And so I'm asking, who is God in your situation? Whatever it is, who is he? What do you believe about him? Is he able? Is he able to do it? Is he able to walk with you through it? If we're wondering about that, we need to check again and pray and know that he is there. And just like Jesse said, you know, coming before that girl and holding a hand and praying with her and feeling this and sensing God there and the strength that he would give to her, grasped onto him. Yes, that's what we need to do. Grasp onto Jesus because he is here and he is there in your situation. Some of us think, oh no, God can't be here in my situation. It's too big. But God is bigger than that. He's bigger than that. It doesn't matter what the situation is. God is bigger. And he sent Jesus to be the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. That's encouraging. And so remember that you have experienced whatever you're experiencing right now. Jesus has endured more. And the Bible says that he is not one that can't sympathize with our weaknesses because he has been tempted in every way, yet without sin. I want to leave you with one of my favorite quotes from a man named William Grinnell, who was a pastor in the 1600s, but had just powerful things to say. He wrote a book, The Christian in Complete Armor, being armed with him and persevering in this life. He says this: the believer is to persevere in his Christian course to the end of his life. His work and his life must go off the stage together. This adds weight to every other difficulty of the Christian's calling. We have known many who have gone into the field and like a work of a soldier for a battle or two, but soon have had enough and have come running home again. But few can bear it as a constant trade. Many are soon engaged in holy duties, easily persuaded to take up a profession of religion, and as easily persuaded to lay it down, like the new moon, which shines a little in the first part of the night, but is down before the half night be gone. Like some professors of their youth, whose old age is wrapped up in thick darkness of sin and wickedness. Oh, this persevering is a hard word. This taking up the cross daily. This praying always. This watching night and day. And never laying aside our clothes and armor. I mean indulging ourselves to remit and unbend in our holy waiting upon God. And walking with God. This sends many sorrowful away from Christ. Yet this is the saint's duty, to make Christ his faith, his everyday work, without any vacation from one end of the year to the other. That's the spirit. That's the encouragement that we need. Every day, we don't lay down our armor, but we take it up every day, and we ask him, oh Lord, today help me to follow and walk in you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we find in your word, the word of God, and that every day you will help us. No matter what the situation is, we will ask that question, who are you? And are you big enough for my problem, my situation, my need? Yes, Lord, you are. And I pray that we may fall upon you and fall before you and ask and cry out to you, God, when we need to, that you will give us the strength that we need, that we will encourage others in this faith so that we will be all that you have desired for us to be, that you may be glorified because you are everything. In Jesus' name, amen.